Welcome to Torah Rimecha Nach Yomi. My name is Adina Schmidman, and we are excited to begin Divrei Hayamim, the concluding Sfarim, in this remarkable two-year journey. As we finish this cycle of Torah Rimecha Nach Yomi and prepare for the next cycle, your learning experience and takeaways are valuable. Please go to ou.org/women/nachsurvey, NACHSURVEY, to share your thoughts and insights. For Torah Rimecha January 22 Siyum updates, please sign up at ou.org/women/Siyum. Mazel Tov, and now let's continue with Divrei Hayamim Aleph with Mrs. Stacy Goldman.
Hello, my name is Stacy Nechama Goldman. Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacy Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Dalet, Chapter 4. The genealogies we have been reading in these chapters have mostly made sense, and we have been able to follow the family lines from father to son. Occasionally, we see new names that we have not seen before, and the Malbim has explained that Ezra was working with a complete book of family relationships and chose to highlight the more important people who would impact the Jewish nation. In this chapter, new names and unclear connections seem to be the norm rather than the exception. The Radak explains that the purpose of this chapter is to complete the family of Yehuda in a shortened way to fill in what was left out from before. We begin by returning to the line of Yehuda and see several names we have not yet encountered until we once again reach Kalev and learn more about his wives and children. We then go back to Yehuda's third son from his first wife, Shelah, and learn about his descendants. We then turn to Shimon and his descendants. We will now highlight some of the more interesting personalities and relationships mentioned in this chapter. In verse 3, we encounter a woman we have never heard of, the sister of Avi Etam, Yisrael, and Idbash. Ve'ela Avi Etam, Yisrael, v'yishma v'idbash, v'shem achotam Hatzlaponi. And these are the sons of Hur, Avi Etam, Yisrael, and Yishma, and Idbash, and the name of their sister was Hatzlaponi. There exists a concept utilized heavily among Chazal, referred to by biblical scholars as the conservation of biblical personalities, whereby two seemingly different people in the Tanakh may actually be one and the same. One of the most famous examples is the midwives, Shifra and Puah, who are identified by the rabbis as Yocheved and Miriam. Another example very similar to our case is the wife of Noach, who is never named. There happens to be a woman listed in the genealogy of Cain as the sister of Tuval Cain named Naama. Our rabbis identify Naama as Noach's wife because her deeds were pleasant, the definition of Naama. Hatzlaponi is connected to the mother of Shimshon in the book of Judges, who is only referred to as Eshet Manoach, the wife of Manoach. Surely a woman of such stature who sees angels had a name. The Midrash in Bamidbar Rabbah says that she was Hatzlaponi, because the angel, connected to the word sel, turned poneh to her twice, hence the double lamed. One version of Midrash Eshet Chayil lauds her multi-talents, Haita tava v'mocheret bashuk, u'megadelet et bana, v'lo od ela haita yoshevet v'doreshet ad shehetzlila hatorah. She would spin wool and sell it in the market. She raised her son, and not just that, she would also sit and expound until she had made the Torah clear, Hetzlila, for all, the original Wonder Woman. In an unusual shift from the normal list of names in this chapter, verse 9 gives us an etymology behind a man named Yabetz. Vehi Yabetz nichbad me'achav, V'imo karashimo Yabetz lemor ki yaladati be'otzev. Now Yabetz was more esteemed than his brothers, and his mother named him Yabetz, saying, "For I bore him in sadness." The name Yabetz, Yud Ayin Bet Tzadi, has the same letters as Atsuv, sadness, albeit in a different order. Many of the commentaries highlight the similarity of this baby naming to when Rachel named Binyamin Ben Oni, son of my pain. They suggest that perhaps Yavet's mother also died after giving birth, as did Rachel. The Metzudat David offers that his mother might have switched the root letters of sadness in his name so that his life would be switched from sadness to happiness. Verse 10 tells us how Yabetz called out to Hashem and he answered him. Vayikra Yabetz l'Elohei Yisrael lemor, im barech tevarcheni, vehirbiti et gvuli, vayita yadcha imi, vayasita mira'a levilti atzbi, vayave Elokim et asher sha'al. And Yavetz called to the God of Israel, saying, if you bless me and increase my border, and your hand is with me, that you save me from harm, so as not to grieve me, and God fulfilled that which he had requested. The Gemara in Tzmurah 16a gives us some interesting background information to this prayer and how it was answered. The Gemara interprets this verse, the phrase, if you will bless me indeed, means that he prayed for a blessing with regard to Torah. And enlarge my border means that he prayed for a blessing with regard to students. And that your hand be with me, that my studies not be forgotten from my heart. And that you will work deliverance from evil, mirati, that I will find friends, re'im, like me. That it may not pain me, that the evil inclination should not grow stronger and prevent me from studying Torah. Otniel further prayed, if you do so, good, and if not, I will go depressed, linsisi, to my grave and the netherworld. Immediately God answered him, as the verse states, and God granted him that which he requested. The Gemara here also mentions that Yabetz was none other than Otniel, the first judge of Israel, mentioned in verse 13. The rabbis explain, he was known as Otniel, as God answered Ana'o Kel, his prayer. He was also known as Yabetz because he advised and spread Ya'atz v'ribetz, Torah, among the Jewish people. We now return to Kalev, who is referred to in verse 15 as Kalev ben Yefunah. Metzudat David explains that he is actually the son of Chetzron, but he is called Yefunah because he turned, Pinah, himself away from the advice of the spies. Malbim counts four different wives and each one's children. The first wife's name is not mentioned. The second is in verse 16, Yehalel El. One of her children is named Miriam, which Malbim tells us here is a boy's name in this context. Hayehudia, the hey is part of the name, in verse 18, is wife number 3. And Bitya Bat Paro, at the end of that verse, is wife number 4. Malbim does not know if she was the daughter of a Jew named Paro or the daughter of an Egyptian ruler. Malbim disagrees with the Gemara in Megillah 13a, which states that Bitya Bat Paro was one and the same as Hayehudia, which we translate then as the Jewish woman. When Batya went down to the Nile River, where she found baby Moshe in his basket, her original intention was to wash herself from the idolatry of her father's household. Perhaps she is the first convert. The pasuk lists 6 different names and repeats the word father 3 times. V'ishto ha-Yehudia, and his wife the Judahite, or the Jewish woman, Yalda et Yared, Avi Gedor, v'et Chever, Avi Socho, v'et Yekutiel, Avi Zanoach, v'ele b'nei Bitya bat Paro, asher lakach Mared. And his wife, the Yehudite, bore Jared, the father of Gedor, and Chever, the father of Socho, and Yekutiel, the father of Zanoach. And these are the sons of Bitya, the daughter of Paro, whom Mered married. The rabbis teach us that each of these names was not an individual child, but rather refers to Moshe Rabbeinu and describes a different aspect of his personality and accomplishments. Yered, this is Moshe. And why was he called Yered? Because Man came down, Yarad, for the Jewish people in his days. He was also called Gador because he fenced in, Gadar, the breaches of the Jewish people. He was called Chever because he connected, Chibur, the Jewish people to their Father in heaven. He was called Socho because he was for the Jewish people like a shelter, a sukkah, and shield. He was called Yehutiel because the Jewish people trusted in God, Kivu Lakel, in his days. A different midrash associates Yehutiel with the fact that his mother, Yocheved, was able to breastfeed him even as Bitya Bat Paro adopted him, and it's similar to the root of nursing, Hanaka. Lastly, back in the Gemara, he was called Zanoach because he caused the iniquities of the Jewish people to be regarded. He's Niach. The triple mention of father signifies that Moshe was a father to all of the Jewish people in three respects: a father in Torah, a father in wisdom, and a father in prophecy. How can the Pasuk say that she gave birth to Moshe? The Gemara teaches us a beautiful lesson that can be applied to any adoptive parents. It is telling you that with regard to anyone who raises an orphan boy or girl in his house, the verse ascribes him credit as if he gave birth to him. So why is she called Bitya, the daughter of God? According to the Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah, Rabbi Levi said, God said to Bitya, Moshe is not your son, and he is called your son, in our verse. You are not my daughter, but I call you my daughter. As it is written, these were the sons of Bitya, daughter of Paro. Bitya is a compound word of bat, daughter, and ka, God. And why was Kalev called Mered? Returning to the Gemara in Megillah 13a, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, let Kalev, who rebelled, Marad, against the advice of the spies, come and marry the daughter of Paro, who rebelled against the idols of her father's home. They were both rebels with a cause. After completing the lines of Tamar's twins, Peretz and Zerach, the chapter returns to Yehuda's son, Shelah, the third son of his first wife. Verse 22 mentions some eerily familiar descendants. Ve'yokim ve'anshe kozeva, ve'yoash ve'saraf asher ba'alu lemoav, ve'ashuvi lachem, ve'hadvarim atikim. And Yokim and the people of Kozeva, and Yoash and Saraf, who married in Moab, and Yashuvi Lechem, and the matters are ancient. Who were Yoash and Saraf, who married in Moab? We happen to know that there were indeed two descendants of Yehuda who married in Moab, but their names were Mahlon and Chilion, who we learn about in the Book of Ruth. They were Naomi's two sons, who left Israel during a famine with their mother and father for Moab, and married Orpah and Ruth. Digging a little deeper, Mahlon and Chilion both have very negative meanings, sickness and destruction, respectively. Yoash and Saraf mean despair and burning. The Gemara in Baba Batra 91b explains, it is written Mahlon and Chilion, and it is written elsewhere Yoash and Saraf, who had dominion in Moab, in our verse. Apparently, both names refer to the same individuals who married Moabite wives. Rav and Shmuel disagreed with regard to their true names. One says their given names were Mahlon and Chilion, and why were they called by the names Saraf and Yoash? One was called Yoash because they despaired, Nitya Ashu, of the redemption of Eretz Yisrael, as they established themselves in Moab and lived there for many years. The other was called Saraf because they were liable to receive the punishment of burning, Srefa, for their sins against God, because they left their community. And one of them says, their given names were Yoash and Saraf, and why were they called by the names Mahlon and Chilion? One was called Mahlon because they made their bodies profane, Chulin, and the other was called Chilion because they were liable to receive the punishment of destruction, Kelaya, for their sins against Hashem. Why does our chapter conclude with the line of Shimon? Why does he come before his older brother, the firstborn of Yaakov, Reuven? Mitzudat David explains that it is because Shimon and Yehuda were neighbors in their land inheritance, so they are recounted next to each other as well. Rashi explains that the land of Yehuda was originally too large for their population, so they allowed the landless tribe of Shimon to dwell among them. As Yehuda grew, they expelled all the Shimonites during the time of David when they went to Mount Seir and smote the remnant of Amalek. These were those Amalekites that were able to escape the battles with both King Shaul and King David. This chapter represents overwhelming evidence for the statement by Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi in Masechet Megillah when he introduced his exposition of the book of Divrei Hayamim. He said as follows, "All of your words are one, and we know how to expound them." By reading between the lines, with the help of the Midrashim, we are able to gain inspirational and interesting information about our ancestors that was not evident in the original narratives. Thank you for studying Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.